3CR Breakfast. Oh, yeah. Alternative news, analysis, and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. until 8:30 a.m. Only double. Clap your hands.
Welcome to breakfast. Welcome to 3CR Breakfast. Well, it's kind of Disability Day breakfast. Breakfast with a twist, I suppose you might say. We're the boldness. We're usually on Wednesday evening, so it's a bit weird to be here this early and be up and about and bright and. But, you know, it's the rest of the world is, so we probably should be as well. But anyway, someone who is always up and about and bright, no matter what the time is Daniel Kirby. Welcome, Daniel.
Hello, Finn. How are you doing today on International Day of Disability?
I am just peachy keen. I'm more excited for the 3CR Disability Day broadcast myself, and we'll talk about that more as the morning rolls on. We should also... thank and introduce Helen Gawilliam, who is really the coordinator of Disability Day, but she's also driving this humble breakfast show along the road through cereal to getting dressed to getting ready for the day.
So who have we got on the show today, guys? So, Daniel, who are your guests today?
Okay, we've got a number of guests today. We're kicking off the show at about 7:15 with Rick Randall, Festival Director of the Other Film Festival, followed by an interview with Tony Clark, the AOP now elected member for the seat of Higgins, which is in Ringwood.
Slight correction there. He's actually the member for the seat of Ringwood.
He is the seat for Ringwood.
Did he win? I don't think he is the member, is he?
I think he might have won, but I might. We can ask that later on.
We're going to find out.
I think he did win. He went for the federal seat of Higgins in 2010. Daniel, just as a slight correction there.
We're talking with Kishel Dunn, an advocate for the UN Convention.
That's right, from Women with Disabilities Australia.
And we're talking with Michelle Burrell and Amber Witcher, Beyond Doubt, Access to Justice.
It's actually, I'll correct myself as well, it's actually Beyond Doubt, reporting crime for people with a disability. So it promises to be a jam-packed show.
It does, but before all of that, we'll have a look at the newspapers.
Yes!
The front page, where 3CR Breakfast explores what's being reported and what's not in Australia's mainstream media. How the media prioritise the day's news, including issues of bias, corporate influence, and who gets a voice and who doesn't. Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 8 a.m. A critical analysis of the nation's newspapers.
Finn, you've had a look at a couple of today's newspapers. Is there any coverage of Disability or Disability Day?
Oh, look, we're really saturated by a great round of indifference by our newspapers generally. So bravo to all the major mastheads out there, and you've really done Disability Day proud. Fortunately, there is something to talk. They have given us something to talk about. The Australian has reported that Crown Casino are going to be employing more people with a disability, meaning a new program, Crown Ability. It will be similar to Crown's Indigenous Employment Strategy, which has employed 400 people. Crown currently employs more than 50 people with a disability, and this new program is headed by the disability ambassador and the person that makes us all feel lazy, quite frankly, Kurt Fernley.
Just make you wonder what you've been doing with your
life. Well, yes. So, look, someone who's able to crawl Kokoda, just crawl, well, basically crawl the Kokoda track, is really making the rest of us feel kind of lazy and lethargic. So anything that even though it is employing people at a major Melbourne casino, you've got to kind of celebrate that, because anything Kurt says it has to be good, because it'll make us less lazy. That is
it's pretty apt that they're actually employing more people.
Yeah, yes, that's a very good point, Daniel. I think that's a very good point. I think that it is good that major companies do employ people with disabilities. My worry is that they're only that major companies like Coles. Major companies like supermarket chains and other places are very good at employing people, particularly multinational companies. But the problem is they don't employ people in positions of management or power or places where they can be influenced. And perhaps there isn't people with disabilities with those skills, but if there is, they should be encouraged to go for those kind of jobs. Anyway, next article is in The Age. There is a $3 million boost for research into the bionic eye, which is good. Monash University has donated $1 million. More than into this, and also there's also another foundation here that has also donated $1 million, which now the project has $2.5 million to work with. More than 500,000 Australians are considered legally blind with damage to the optic eye, optics generally, I think that'll make a great deal of difference to people. I wonder if though, while making people able to see, I wonder if, because there's a great sort of blindness community around, and I wonder if curing people of their blindness would dent that level of community somehow. What do you think, Daniel?
Well, Finn, it's an interesting question. Does a person with a disability always need to be fixed?
That's very true, and I believe that's going to be your we'll talk about that with one of our guests later on. Now, also, the Finn Review, God love it, is I know, you know, people have to read some people read the Finn Review. This article is on diversity on boards. Now, a company called Earth Chung, the accountants, have male partners as a chair of their diversity and inclusiveness board. But the whole article talks about putting more women on boards and really gender diversity in our workforce, which is a fantastic initiative. But what it fails to mention as well is that that's not the whole point of diversity. The whole point of diversity includes people from all kinds of different backgrounds, including disability, and I think that needs to be at the forefront when people are talking about definitely workforce diversity and workforce participation generally. Daniel, Helen, have you got any thoughts on that?
I think a lot of companies and the corporate world generally thinks they've ticked the box for diversity if they're looking at gender and not looking more broadly.
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess it's easy for people to say, well, you know, we're doing this, we're employing people who have or are from one particular background without considering, well, hang on, there are more people, we could be doing more, and there are more things there are areas in our workforce that would really benefit from having people from different backgrounds, so we're not all dealing with, dare I say, the people like us syndrome.
Yeah.
Well, it's that some disabilities are quite hitting as well, and they're not actually apparent. That might have something to do with it, but there's also a lot of stigma about including people with a disability in the community anyway. And I don't think it would be unusual. Why is the workplace any different?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Did you have any news today you wanted to highlight, Daniel?
Well, the biggest news that I did is that when I jumped on the internet to have a look for disability stories about International Day of the Disability, most of the stories related to about 2-3 years ago on the front page.
Yeah. Lift your game, guys.
Hits. Yeah, come on. I guess we can because it's pretty generic. Come on, Google. Lift your game, people.
Well, there's the other one which I have about disability news too. And it's if a person has a disability and they're travelling, quite often they need to access traveller's aid.
Yes.
Yep.
I was passing through Flinders Street Station earlier today, and Travellers Aid is closed today, International Day of Disability, and tomorrow, I believe, too.
Is it?
Boo.
But it is opening at Southern Cross Station.
Oh, well, well, that's great. So everyone with a disability, just go through Southern Cross Station, and for those people travelling through the rest of the city loop, or don't worry about it. Just go straight to the Flinders Cross Station. Look, that's a really good point, Daniel. I mean, Travellers Aid better funded because it's not. Anyway, it's time for us to leave the front page there. We will come back with our first guest and play a track of music. We'll be back soon. Playing where you should have been playing. That was "These Boots Are Made for Walking" by the Bear Brass Asylum Orchestra with the wonderful, well, Jess, out the front of that outfit. Now, at about 7:20, it's time to introduce our first guest.
And we are talking with Mr. Rick Randall, the festival director for the Other Film Festival. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Good morning, Finn. Good morning, Daniel. How are you going?
I'm extremely well. To kick off the International Day of Disability, how do you bring people closer together?
Well, you remove barriers. I think that's the simple way of getting people closer together. And the other way you get people to come closer together is you give them opportunities to be involved in projects together, to be involved in making things together, making art together, watching films together. If you give people the opportunities to connect through joint activities, that's the best way to build relationships.
And with the Other Film Festival, let's join this all together. Rick, how does the Other Film Festival bring people closer together with entertainment?
It's much more than entertainment. Entertainment, of course, is the reason people go. You go to a film festival because you want to be entertained. You know, you want to be engaged by the films. You want to hear interesting speakers. You want to come in contact with ideas that you haven't heard before. So they're the things that great festivals can offer. But when you're at the festival, and this is equally true whether people have a disability or don't have a disability, you need to feel really welcome when you arrive. And one way of feeling welcome is that, first and foremost, all your needs are taken care of. Can you get the tickets easily? Can you get into the building? Are the films accessible? Do they have captions? Are they audio described? Are there Auslan interpreters for members of the deaf community? So first and foremost, you put all those access services in place, and then you ensure that what those services give you access to is something that is actually exciting and energises you. The other thing that's really important is that after films and after sessions, if they've got really good content and you really enjoy it, you're going to want to talk to other people, because you don't go to film festivals to listen. You go to film festivals to talk and to be visible and to engage with other people. So we make sure that we have lots of opportunities for people to connect with each other after the screenings.
Now, is that with people connecting together, does the Other Film Festival recognise the companion card?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And if you go to our website, you'll see that the companion card is first and foremost among recognising that some people require a support person when they go somewhere. So the companion card is totally recognised, as it should be by law.
Well, let's make it easy. Whereabouts is the Other Film Festival being held?
So this year it's on at the Melbourne Brain Centre, the wonderfully named Melbourne Brain Centre, which is in the Kenneth Myer Building at 30 Royal Parade, Parkville. So it's on the Melbourne University campus, and it's just north of Grattan Street on the right-hand side, number 30 Royal Parade, Parkville.
Now, what are some of the types of films people can view this year?
Oh, wow, that's a big question. Okay, look, first and foremost, the festival is very inclusive in terms of how it approaches disability. So we generally program kind of clusters of films together that might cluster around particular experiences, so the experience of being blind or low vision. We also have sessions for people who are from the deaf community. So there's clusters of films. So so I guess the first thing to talk about is one of my favourite films that has been waiting and waiting and waiting to finally be screened at the festival. It's called On the Road with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It's a film that's celebrating its 21st anniversary, so it's time for a rescreening. And it's a film that was a documentary film made by Kath South and Stuart Carter, and it was filmed 21 years ago, and it's life on the road with, at that time, Australia's longest-running theatre show. Now, at that time, in a different era, it advertised itself as having live little people on stage. So it was clearly in a very less sophisticated era. Now, we've got two members of that cast, two members of the short-statured community, are going to be coming to Melbourne as guests of the festival, and that's Scott Smith and CJ Davies, are coming to the festival, and they'll be talking about, you know, the making of that film together with the filmmakers, and also what are the kind of pressures on short-statured performers in terms of what kind of gigs is it okay to take? You know, are there gigs which actually work against how people perceive short-statured people, and also focusing on the importance of craft and the importance of developing your craft as an actor and a performer. And I guess we'll talk about Peter Dinklage the short-statured actor in Game of Thrones, and talk about how people like that, how are they changing things for people who are short-statured?
Well, Rick, what about... there's a number of stories about films and relationships. For example, I think there's one coming up called The Kiss.
Oh, yes. Now, that's a film that's screening in our one of our deaf sessions. And The Kiss is a very sly, humorous film. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's also having a little bit of a dig at some of the misconceptions that hearing people can have about deaf people. And look, if you love seeing intimacy on screen,
who doesn't?
Exactly, who doesn't? If you love seeing intimacy on screen in the darkness of a cinema, you will see a form of interaction, a kind of kiss that you've probably never seen on screen before. That's all I'm promising.
Well, is that...
How can we not go to a session with that promise, Rick?
Well, also,
that's
Rick,
fantastic.
Rick, in today's news, it talked about there's a big list of funding to give people bionic eyes, basically. And I think you've got a film to do with a person with a hearing impairment, maybe learning to experience the world by hearing what's around them.
Yes. That's a film called Sounds for Mazen, which is a Dutch documentary, and it's about a 12-year-old boy who's been deaf since birth, and he's going to have a cochlear implant, and it follows his journey from somebody who has lots and lots of questions as a child would have, you know, like, what does a dog sound like? You know, do fish make noise? So they're fantastic kind of questions that somebody who's been deaf since birth would have about the world. You know, what is sound like? Because if you don't have experience of it, how could you even start to imagine it? And, of course, his fear also is, what if the operation doesn't work? So there's a lot of kind of expectation and fantastic kind of questions going on in his journey with the cochlear implant. And, of course, we need to acknowledge also that the whole very, very complex issue of choosing to have a cochlear implant or not is an issue which the deaf community grapple with very strongly because, of course, being a deaf person means that you're a member of a language group here in Australia. That's the language group that speaks Auslan. So many members, in fact, most members of the deaf community identify as a language group. So they don't necessarily see themselves as people who need to be fixed.
Well, what about disability in relationships? I think there might be one about a person who might have autism in a relationship.
Oh, yes. There's a short film, and it's screening as part of our Autism on Screen session, which is on Friday at midday. And R.V. Kuza is 50 years old. He's very happily married, and he's very proudly autistic. And he is incredibly articulate, and he's very able to talk very clearly about his autism. And probably you wouldn't really pick that he had autism, but But what he does in his effort to disguise his autism, the consequence of that is sometimes it asserts itself and in quite dramatic ways. And look, I think it's a really interesting insight, along with the other three films in that session, a really interesting insight, which the festival strives to do. You know, we try and go, what is the lived experience of disability? What does disability look like from the inside? What's the experience of it? And that film, Autism in Love, really kind of takes you into his experience. Because I think the questions that films often pose to its audience is, how would you be in that body, in that experience? What choices would you make? What would you want to be doing if you were in that experience? And I think these are great, great questions, because you talked at the start before, Daniel, about, you know, what connects people. And I think film connects people because film can open up a door in an incredibly powerful way into somebody else's experience, someone who's very different from yourself.
Oh, thank you very much, Rick. That's all we really have time for today. But could we just have details again where the other film festival is on and how to access it, please?
Much more important than where. All those details are online. You can go to the website, otherfilmfestival.com. But most importantly, today, International Day with People with a Disability, Fed Square are going to be screening the opening night films for free on the big screen at Fed Square at 7 o'clock tonight. It's opening night at the festival is completely full. It's invitation only. It's a very small venue. But if you want to see the films from opening night, get down to Fed Square. There's deck chairs, Fed Square, and it's also got open audio description and captions. So go down to Fed Square and check it out there for free.
Thank you very much. We've been talking with Rick Randall, Festival Director of the Other Film Festival.
See you tonight, Rick.
They call me special, they call me creep, they call me mom, they call me special, that's not my name.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, celebrating International Day of People with a Disability.
They call me Rita, but I'm a riot, Joey Deacon, always the same, that's not my name, that's not my name, that's not my name.
People with disabilities are disadvantaged in relative terms in today's society. There's a high correlation between people with disabilities and poverty. 45% of us live in or near poverty. This is due to low incomes, fewer employment opportunities, and additional costs due to our disability. Whilst Australia experiences relatively low unemployment, this is not the case for people with disabilities. We're employed at a rate 30% lower than the general population. And when we are employed, we're usually underemployed. There are high rates of people with psychosocial and intellectual disability in prisons across Australia. In fact, prison is a significant accommodation option for people with disabilities. And how shameful is that? 90% of women with intellectual disability, 90%, 9 out of 10, have been sexually assaulted at some time during their lives. And there are high rates of violence towards people with disabilities, particularly people in institutional settings. And we as advocates have the task of supporting people with disabilities through or around those barriers. That's what we're all about.
Australia has to do better for Aboriginal people with disabilities. Australia has to do better for women with disabilities. Australia must close institutions that are still open. And people in children workshops are paid unfair wage. That must stop now. Nothing about us without us.
Turn off your radio. I got something to say. Turn off the radio. Turn off the radio. I want a revolution. And I want it today. I want a revolution. I want a revolution. Turn off your radio. I got something to say. Turn off the radio.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.